Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. It's time to talk Mississippi State baseball, and I've been saying it for weeks. I think the excitement around this program is as high as it's ever been, and that's saying something when we're talking about Mississippi State baseball. Coach Brian O'Connor, kind enough to join us, and Coach, you know, just wrapping up fall practice, what does a baseball coach hope to gain from fall practice, and did you gain it?
Well, Brian, thanks for having me on. First of all, you know, I don't know if there's been a more exciting time in Mississippi State baseball than this national championship trophy behind my shoulder here, right? Obviously a pretty special time in the history of this program, but thanks for sharing that. You know, fall baseball, it went great. You know, there's a lot of intentionality in fall ball. First and foremost, you want to teach your players the pace at which you're asking them to work. Certainly, there's the development part of it, that you're taking their skills and trying to elevate that, right? There's the competition piece of it that's so important, that they're competing against each other, you know, for jobs. You know, it's good to have competition at each individual position, because when you have great competition, it drives you as a player to be at your best. Certainly, we also had an opportunity to compete against a couple of other teams, Florida State and Louisiana Tech, and that was part of it. So, you know, you're building your team, you're developing your players, you're instilling the pace of which you want them to work, right? You're getting them to compete to ultimately decide at some point, you know, who are they going to be the starters at the positions and all that. So there's a lot of purpose behind it. And I felt like we did a great job in fall ball, the players did, and we've transitioned to this kind of mode of player development now coming out of fall baseball.
So, you know, when you hire a new football coach, they would call that first camp, they would say there's a lot of installation of, you know, we got to learn our way of doing things. Did you have that here, or is baseball different in that way?
No, it's not different in that way. Certainly, there's a certain way that a coaching staff likes to do things. There's certain things that I believe in. You know, there's a lot about that. It's, you know, bunt defense, pop-up priority communication, all kinds of different things from the game standpoint. But most importantly, right out of the gate, you instill your standards of what you, how you believe they should not only play the game, but also how I believe that they should carry themselves as young men. So that installation, as you use that term, is absolutely part of what you do in this kind of transition.
Well, what's a typical Brian O'Connor practice like?
Well, it depends on is there a scrimmage that day? It depends on what you have on your calendar that you're trying to accomplish. But, you know, it typically starts out by, you know, some small group individual prep before we start as a team. So, for example, the pitchers are working out together and doing their prep before team practice starts for about an hour, and the position players are doing their pregame prep to get warmed up and getting a lot of reps in. And then we start together as a team and, you know, do things, skill work together as a team. And then it depends, do we move into a scrimmage, or are we doing, you know, more team skill development throughout the day? So, you know, a big part of it is it's going to be incredibly detailed. I send the practice plan out to the team the night before practice so they can be prepared. I send it out over GroupMe, and so they know exactly what the expectations are for the next day, and they can be prepared for it. And then it's just go. We're going to work as fast and efficient as we can. I believe in efficiencies when you're dealing with young men that are 18 to 22 years old, that we're going to keep moving. And it's going to be at a fast pace, and we're going to get a lot of work done.
So you mentioned that you got to play some live competition this fall. When you watched your team play, what surprised you about them?
I don't know that like there was a lot that surprised me, because, for most of them there was no history, right? And so, I wasn't surprised about this. I was excited about their buy-in immediately to the pace that I believe that we needed to work at. And, they are a really locked in special group of young men. I felt like, I just finished up the other day my individual one-on-one meetings where I spend 30 to 45 minutes with each player on the roster individually and talk to them about where we're at, where they're at. And to a man, Brian, every one of them said how excited they are because they believe that the team chemistry that we have, that we've built over 14 weeks, is some of the best team chemistry that they've ever been around. So they've really connected really well, really encourage each other, working well together. And that typically is what carries you through challenging times.
How quickly do you get an idea of what the roles are going to be on your team, be it in the lineup or in the pitching staff? Do you have a pretty solid idea now, or do you need to get through the next couple of months before, when you go into opening day, you're like, all right, this is where I want guys to be?
Well, certainly when you watch them throughout the fall, you start to see things and imagine things of how it could look, right? But under no circumstances right now have I made any kind of decision. And that's because over the years, I've seen players have great falls and be like, wow, this guy's a heck of a player or a pitcher. And then you get to January and February and you're like, what happened? And vice versa. You've had the other. Right, you've had guys that maybe it's a freshman that has getting acclimated to this level of baseball, and then over November and December and January, they've taken those lessons and they've elevated their game. So I never make any decisions this time of the year, on who's going to be the starter at what position, because that's not fair to every guy in the clubhouse. And when you keep that competition going all the way and up until opening day and through the season, you ultimately get the player, the best version of them.
So the last time you and I talked was before the Major League Baseball draft, and I'm sure you had some ideas and some hopes of the guys you would be able to bring to campus. You might be able to survive the draft. I'm gonna guess that you did not believe you were gonna get Jacob Parker to campus when that conversation took place. Can you tell us a little bit about, when you found out he was going to be coming to Mississippi State, and what kind of impact can a player like that have as a true freshman for you?
Well, it was, every situation is different. I never rule out that, it could be in a player's best interest to go to college, and every player has to make that their own individual decision regarding that. And so, Jacob is one of many examples of a player that, ultimately they decided that enrolling in college and being a college baseball player was their best decision for their journey to ultimately be the best player that they can be. And that's what it's about, And, we just finished our signing day the other day with high school recruits. And, people can speculate, oh, this player has no chance to get to college or whatever. Sometimes you lose recruits that you never think would have been drafted high enough to go. And so it's hard to predict, but ultimately it comes down to each player and each individual family deciding what is best for them for the next 3 years of their life and this journey. And so, I've had many players over the years make that decision to come to college, and it's been the best decision that they've made in their life and ultimately has, finished out with in their career with being a Major League Baseball player. So, we handle them all in individual cases, and Jacob Parker was no different.
And you kind of hit on what I wanted to ask you about, because you have had some success throughout your career of bringing in guys that everybody would have maybe written off as, well, he'll probably go in the draft. What's different about the recruiting process for a player like that versus a player that you like, think can be a good college baseball player, but you kind of know going in he's not likely to be a draft risk on sign when we get to that point?
Yeah, I mean that is what it is, and that's why I go back to I think it's so important to handle them as each individual cases. You know, we can speculate right now where guys might be projected, you know, next July and things like that, but like, you know, players got to perform, and you know, Major League Baseball has to make a decision. And you know, there's some players that you have a pretty good idea that they're going to come to college. One, because either they've shared with me already that they believe that going to college first is their best route. And you know, as a college coach, we all love hearing that, right? And it's not a, you know, it's not a competition of us against professional baseball. It's just two different options that they have. Right. And I don't ever want a player to come to college not believing that it's the best thing for them at that point in their career.
So we'll just keep it as professional as we can, and we'll say you've been on a good run on the recruiting trail over the past couple of months. How enjoyable has this recruiting process been for you at Mississippi State? Because it seems like right now, you know, on the outside, you're doing less recruiting and more selecting.
Yeah, well, I can tell you there's a lot of recruiting as part of it, you know, and you know, when you're in competition for high level players, right, that have a lot of other great options, it's a lot of recruiting, right? And so, but you know, we've been very, very consistent with what our message is about what a young man is going to get in this uniform, but also too at the same time, Brian, it's about this process and them making their decision. It's about what they're going to become, right? I think a lot of people and recruits think about this decision about, okay, well, what am I going to get there, right? And that's fine and all, but what it's really about is what they're going to become while they're here, right? And so it's been a lot of fun. It's been relentless. Right. And it's been a lot of work, but that's what we love to do is we believe in so much about what the opportunity is for young men here at Mississippi State and for them to be able to develop. And you know, we're just continuing to be consistent with that message and in your terms, selecting the right young men, making the offers to the right young men that we believe are best for Mississippi State.
So I'm always interested in competitors and what motivates them. And so for you, is the motivation the same here at Mississippi State versus your previous stops? Or is there something about having a new challenge, being in a new place that gives you maybe an added layer of motivation?
Well, certainly, you know, part of this, me for me personally and our staff, Brian, is the opportunity and challenge in front of us. But the opportunity and challenge is at other places too, right? It's just a matter of how you as a coach, how you as an individual look at it, right? And so, you know, certainly schools are different and things like that, but when you are a competitor at whatever it is you do, right? Not just a baseball coach, any of us, when you're a competitor, you want to be in a position to where you're challenged, right? You want to be in a position where you're competing against the best because competition draws the best out of us, right? And so I'd love it what we have an opportunity to deliver here at Mississippi State, right? And what the opportunity is that the young people have. And you know, I'm one of those guys that is highly, highly motivated by being successful and the fear of failure, right? Like, you know, I hate to lose more than I love to win, right? And so, you know, when you're thinking about that every day, right, that gets you out of bed early in the morning and you know, gets you at a pace all day until into the night, I was on a recruiting call last night with the player until 10:45 at night. And I love that, right? Because that's what it takes to be successful.
So we're going to go off topic here for this one just a little bit, but I am a diehard San Francisco Giants fan. Have been since there's a guy out in front of your stadium, one of his statues. He lured me into San Fran, and I've been with the Giants ever since. And I'm interested on your thoughts on Tony Vitello going to Major League Baseball. Do you see him being successful at that level?
100%.
All right.
100%. I see him
That'll
being.
work. Good news.
I don't know Tony that well, other than I've had a chance to compete against him in Omaha, and things like that, and just a little bit of an interaction. Spent some little bit of time with him 2 summers ago after Tennessee won the national championship, out recruiting and talking to him and things like that. Right. I love it. The reason I love it is Tony made the decision to be the first guy through the door, right? To break some barriers down, right? Obviously, Pat Murphy has been very successful in Milwaukee as a former college baseball coach, but he took a different direction, got into managing in the minor leagues for a number of years and bench coach in the major leagues and things like that. The fact that Buster Posey had the strength to say, I'm going right after a college guy straight from college into a Major League Baseball manager. I hope Tony's successful. I believe he will be successful, but I really hope that he is successful because I believe it's good for the college game. I believe in us trying to make this link and this connection with professional baseball, college baseball, and professional baseball, the best that we possibly can. It's the best, and this is just one example of this, right? The fact that the connection has gotten better over the years, the draft has shrunk through contraction, less minor league players and teams has strengthened college baseball, right? And I think that, Major League Baseball, professional baseball, and college baseball working together more and more is what's part of what's best for this game. And so I think for all of us, for professional baseball and college baseball, I hope this works, and I believe that it will.
Yeah, I know you just got here, and I'm certainly not trying to run you off, but have you ever considered or would you consider a major league job down the road?
I don't, really spend a lot of time thinking about those things. I live my life, one day at a time, right? With also thinking about, what is best for our team 2 months from now, 9 months from now in recruiting, and so I think it's pretty cool. I think it's, I think it's a challenge, right? I'm sure that's why Tony decided to do this, because he wanted a new challenge in his life, right? And so, you never say never, right? But I think it's pretty cool what he's doing right now.
I sure hope you're correct on that one. I'll say that. Last question here. Just a couple weeks ago, the Diamond Dog Classic. I don't know that Mississippi State has ever had three sellout crowds after baseball season ended, but between the party animals and this, 10,000 plus in all of those games, were you surprised by just how many people were in the stadium and on a November Friday for an alumni game?
Oh, sure. I mean, anybody that wouldn't say they were surprised is, I think they'd be lying to you. But like that said, Brian, not really. And the reason is I've seen for 5.5 months the energy, the passion that everybody has for Mississippi State baseball, and specifically those men that wear this uniform. I mean, it is unmatched in college baseball, right? So, yes, to get over 10,000 tickets sold, and I swear that there were more like 12,000 people in the stadium, right? But to have over 10,000 tickets sold for a six-inning alumni game speaks volumes about the passion that these fans have for this baseball program. And that is exciting.
I had a chance to talk to Jake Mangum earlier this week and asked him about participating in that. When you got to talk to some of State's former players, what was their message to you?
All smiles, excitement, energy for the program, enthusiasm for certainly being back and how much that uniform means to them. I've had a number of conversations with many former players over the last 5.5 months, and some of them have addressed our team and just their energy and excitement for Mississippi State baseball is really, really exciting.
Been a great conversation, Coach. Always appreciate your time. I'm already looking forward to opening day. Coach Brian O'Connor, Mississippi State Baseball, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Brian.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.